Welcome to Creating Connection with me, your host, Dr. T, where we will navigate being human together. We'll do this through conversations, exploring the challenges and joys of life, uncovering insights and strategies to create meaningful connections, to foster personal growth and find solace in the collective wisdom of our diverse community. Drawing from a unique blend of academic expertise and personal experiences, I will dive into the joys and complexities of aging, death, dying, grief, and body image. With a blend of humor and compassion and understanding, we will forge connections that transcend geographical boundaries and unite us in our shared humanity. When we come together, the possibilities are endless. Creating Connection with me, Dr. T, starts now. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's just me today. It was so fun to have guests the last two shows. But today I really want to dive into this concept of, I'll give you the acronym that I've come up with is ACE. So there is, you know, adverse childhood experiences. It's not that. And I do have plenty of those. But that's not what I'm talking about today. Today, I'm really wanting to dive into this idea of how do we know ourselves? I've talked in and around this subject. We had mindful connection. Mindful communication on episode 4, mindful eating, episode 5, and then beyond resolutions, which was episode 8. And so I talk about these things, but when I was really sitting with it, I'm like, what is it? What is underneath all of these things for me? What are the concepts that kind of help guide my self-awareness and my path? And I would say that it is, ACE, aware, being aware. Then it would be bringing curiosity. So C for curiosity. And then E is exploring. And I titled this episode, The Explorer Within, Nurturing Curiosity and Deepening Awareness. So what does all of that mean and why is it important? Well, that's what we're here to talk about today. So I forgot the opener. So hello, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. T, and you're listening to Creating Connection on Transformation Talk Radio. And I just jumped in because I was so excited to share all of this with you. Okay, so what does it mean to be aware? What does it mean to bring awareness to your situation? So often we are walking around just kind of going on our like path, right? It's just like we're just going, we're in a habit loop. We do, you know, we do this, then we do this, then we do this. And we're not necessarily like pausing and thinking about what those things are. And that is a great thing, right? Like we don't always want to have to like dive into everything. A great example is if you drive a car. The first, I don't have kids, but I know I hear my friends who are parents talking about teaching their kids how to drive and what a process that is. You know, that was a number of years ago for me. So I don't really think about it in that way. And so driving a car is fairly automatic. And when you're driving familiar routes, whether it's like to and from work or to and from the store, you might even notice that you get somewhere and you're like, I have paid zero attention on how to get here because it's just automatic. So you're not in awareness all the time. That helps because we have these connections and we can, you know, it's like I can do this and I can do this and I don't have to slow myself down thinking about it. Again, driving a car is one of those great example. But without awareness, we're not paying attention in the present moment, right? And so if there's something that is challenging you in your life, or if you are having some difficulty navigating something, again, I talk a lot about aging, I talk about grief, and those are things that can kind of creep up on our awareness. Grief is usually pretty sudden, right? but it can creep up on you in other moments. Someone was talking to me recently about the grief they were experience of with the loss of their pet. And it was, they said, oh, it was just out of the blue. And then I was hit by this experience of grief. And so grief can sneak up on you. Where am I going with all of this? Let's see. So awareness. These topics that I talk about, awareness, wanting to change, wanting to understand what's going on in your life experience. So, and then going beneath like surface level, right? So awareness, I'll talk about kind of definitions. So awareness, this is the foundation step. Being aware means recognizing not only the external circumstances, but our internal states. And so things can be happening and life can be coming at you and you might respond to those in a certain way, but it might also churn something up internally that you're not expressing outwardly. So our internal states, thoughts, and emotions. And this involves mindfulness. So we're not always aware of what's happening. You might have those knee-jerk reactions and you might be like halfway into some, you know, argument and going like, how did I get here? Much like, how did I get to the store? And so these ideas, you are then aware, then you like pause and you're like, oh, this is happening. It allows you to notice the narratives that you construct about your experience, because we're constantly telling ourselves stories, right? You might not be aware of it, but that's what we're here to talk about. So we're constantly telling ourselves stories. We're taking in information, those external circumstances, and then we have usually a narrative about it. And when we have a narrative that lasts long enough, right, that we keep telling ourselves, then that turns into a belief. And then it can be kind of really firmly entrenched in like your reality, like you have a belief about aging. And so we're wanting to bring awareness to what are those beliefs that you have about aging, or what are those beliefs that you have about whatever challenge is going on in your world. And so it's noticing the narratives we construct about our experiences, and it's like shining a light on the patterns of our mind. So as I was talking about, like the automatic stories we tell ourselves, they can go unchecked. You know, that is, Anne Lamott has a couple of great quotes about this, and one I shared on an episode, but it's like, my mind is like a dangerous neighborhood, best not to go in it alone. And so we're looking at the patterns of our mind, the stories that we tell ourselves. And those unchecked stories can actually drive a lot of behaviors and drive them in ways that you don't want to be driven, but all of a sudden you're there. So by being aware, you can observe the stories without immediately being caught up in them or believing them to be the full truth of your situation. What's been interesting and how I've been going down this track, it really more and more, is bringing mindfulness to the experience of aging. And so many people, that is their first story that they tell about whatever is going on. Oh, it's because I'm old. It's because I'm getting older. I broke my toe last weekend, it doesn't matter when. I broke my baby toe. And I was sharing that with a friend of mine. And the text that I got back was, oh, yeah, I've noticed that when I, as I age, I'm getting more and more clumsy or something like that. And I let that go. Usually, you know, I'm kind of right on it when people automatically attribute something to age. And so then I said, and then we were going back and forth with other things. And then they said, oh, getting older, or getting old is hard, exclamation point. And that's when I decided to say, so I'm curious that you're attributing, you know, this, you know, broken toe to aging or to getting older. I said, you know, for me, maybe it's because I've been clumsy most of my life. It didn't even occur to me to attribute that or make that story up that it's about aging. So we kind of went back and forth and they said something about being more forgetful. And I said, well, I look at your life and I again, don't attribute it to age. I think, oh, well, you have a lot going on with all that you have in your life. So of course, some things are not going to be top of mind. And so that, that idea of being aware. So again, in the stories that we tell ourselves, what stories are you telling yourself? And we can't know until we pause and start the awareness cycle. And so if you want to connect deeper to yourself, you know, you need to have that awareness. You need to then work on acceptance. That's not what we're talking about today. But again, mindfulness is paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. Non-judgmentally is the key. And so, you know, if you notice something coming into your awareness, you might automatically have a thought pattern and then be off and running in a behavior. And so what happens when you are aware of like, oh, I feel sad, I'm reaching for a bag of cookies? Is there judgment? Is there then this idea that you're a bad person? Or is there like just aware, non-judgmentally, oh, I am doing this, and then this is the behavior that's coming out from it. Again, this is kind of like, I want to just create like a broad brush and a big umbrella of these concepts that might help you navigate behavior change or working with challenging situations in your life. So curious, the C in ACEs. So being curious, I would say, is about a state of mind or a feeling. So it's a desire to learn and know more about something or someone. And in this case, I'm talking about knowing more about yourself. And you might think like, well, I know myself, but really, really do you? And are you curious about those knee-jerk habits and stories that are happening? So this is what I'm asking is to invite people to bring a sense of curiosity, a desire to know more about themselves or about their behaviors. And again, if you can bring it with that curiosity or that lens, it's not about judging bad or good, because that's the stories we tell ourselves. That's the moral judgments that we put on our experience. So this initial spark, curiosity drives people to seek out information. It doesn't necessarily apply like a structured approach to discovering new information. It's more about interest or maybe even eagerness that propels people forward. Because once we're aware, then we can approach our thoughts and feelings with curiosity, which allows us to explore them without judgment. See that judgment word. This means asking questions like, why might I be feeling this way? Or what's another way to view this situation? Curiosity is an opening. It opens you up. It's a space for learning and understanding rather than reacting out of habit. So again, it's the responding versus reacting. We've talked about it in other mindfulness episodes, but really when you think about the things in your life or the people in your life, how often are you just knee-jerk reacting versus responding? And so curiosity opens that up. It opens up that space, right, between whatever is happening externally, and then there's a little bit of space, and then you can be curious and say like, and ask yourself, why might I be feeling this way? What are other ways to view this situation? And Byron Katie has a fantastic framework where she actually leads people through like, is this true? Is this really true? How do I know that this is true? And when you start really inquiring into and being curious about your situation, then again, it opens up like, oh, is this true? Or is just this something that I've believed? Is this someone else's belief, right? Like, we are getting information all the time from our families, from society, from culture. And so really pausing and saying like, is this true for me? And how do I respond to that so that I can then have more of whatever you're looking for in your life? So curiosity opens up the space for learning and understanding. It turns challenging situations and difficult emotions into opportunities for insight and growth. Yes, I do actually believe that curiosity can turn challenging situations and difficult emotions into opportunity for insight and growth. However, I think that there is, I think that there is a habit to want to skip to the good part. And by that, I mean, you know, we're like, okay, so this challenging thing happened and what does this mean? And how can I use this? I'm a teacher. You know, I facilitate trainings, I do coaching, and I will often be in the middle of something for myself, some level of curiosity, something is going on in my life. And then my little teacher brain gets activated and I'm like, ooh, I can talk about this. I can use this situation, this response, this whatever as a teaching moment. And although that's useful, I have learned that in the moment, I tell myself, this is for me. This is for me to learn and to understand and to be curious about. And if it turns into something that I share down the line, so be it. But otherwise, I can get caught up in like reshaping the narrative and trying to make it fit like a tidy way of teaching something. And that's what I want you to be aware of as well, that, you know, if there is a challenging situation or difficult emotions, then there's ways to meet those. And we'll talk about those next episode, like using a framework to actually meet those difficult emotions and challenging situations with a little bit more ease. So that you can get to insight and growth, but you're not trying to skip through it, right? You're trying to understand what is actually happening. But in terms of the stories we tell ourselves, being curious helps us to question their accuracy and utility. Are they helping us or holding us back? And that again goes to the situations or the stories that we might have learned from our families, that we might have learned from, you know, school or whatever, and just saying, like, are they helping us or holding us back? And is it my story? Do I really believe this? Is this true for me? And that idea of curiosity in that can give you that space. Next is explore. And it's funny because as I was talking through this with my husband, he's like, well, what's the difference between curiosity and exploration? So I see them as kind of, you know, for those of you listening, I'm making a infinity sign. It's like, you know, curiosity might, you know, spark that interest to explore, and then exploration might invite more curiosity. So I see them kind of leading into each other. And one of the thoughts that I had about this was, you know, I might be walking by a cave. I don't know. Have I ever walked by a cave? It doesn't matter, but just bear with me. So I might be walking by a cave and I might be curious, like, what's in there? That's interesting. But am I going to explore? Probably not. Maybe. I don't know. Because exploring means then kind of actually going into that. It might be unknown. It might be unfamiliar. It might be scary. Like, as I think about like a cave, I watch some of those documentaries where people are like diving in caves, and one of my dear friends does that, shout out Annie, and I everything in me closes up. I might be curious to hear about her experience. I might be curious enough to watch a little snippet, but am I actually going to explore it myself? And again, I'm talking kind of top of trees and bigger ideas here. And then we'll get into more practical, like, how do you use this in your own life? So exploring, that's about taking active steps to investigate new perspectives, possibilities, and responses. It involves trying out new behaviors or thought patterns and seeing what happens. And you would maybe approach it like you would an experiment. So exploration can lead to discovering more adaptive and fulfilling ways to engage with the world. It's not about being afraid to step out of comfort zones, but it's guided by the awareness and curiosity we've cultivated. And I want to say a little bit more about this idea, you know, of treating things and seeing what happens like an experiment. When you have such ingrained habit patterns of the mind, when you have such, you know, like, this happens, then this happens, or this experience, again, that outer experience, and this is how I react to it. If you're like, hey, I want to approach this in a new way, I want to do something different. This exploring, you know, like you see the thought or behavior, and then you're like, I want to try a different way. Keeping in mind that, you know, we have these, you know, habits of the mind, like they are, you know, they are connected, right? So what, I'm forgetting who said it, but what wires together fires together. So those are your neurons, right? So if you have a this means this, and I'm putting my hands together, then it usually equals this. But if you're saying like, oh, I want to shift something, I want to act something differently, it is really the visualization that's been so helpful for me, and hopefully it will be for you as well. That a marble, like rolling a marble down a sand hill, right? And you can imagine that the more times you roll the marble down, the deeper that little groove happens. And then you're like, hey, little marble, I want to send you over here to see what happens, to try a new path. And then that marble might go a little bit, and then it careens back into that habit pattern, that deeper groove. So it takes many times of like trying something new, trying something new, trying something new. And then you would wire and fire a different thought pattern and a different habit or behavior. What happens usually, I would say, is that, you know, people will get this idea of like, oh, I don't like how this is. So they have an awareness. And then they might get curious and go like, okay, how can I change this? And I'm doing a typing motion, like, how can I change this? And then they're like, okay, this is what I'm going to change. And this is how I'm going to change this behavior. And what happens is like they, and you know, you might even think New Year's resolutions. I talked about that at the beginning of the year. So if you've listened to that, you know my thoughts about it. But any time of the year, if you're trying something new and you send that marble down a new path and then it kind of careens back, sometimes people then get discouraged. Then they're judgmental. They think it's about, oh, it's willpower and I didn't make it happen. And then you add those judgments on and then you're like, well, it's just easier. It's just easier to stay in this habit pattern. And it can be. However, you know, easy doesn't always like get you to the changes that you want. Okay, so again, you know, talking a little bit more about, you know, the difference between exploring and it is more active, I'd say, than curiosity. So when you explore, you're actively searching and trying to discover something. So it can be driven by curiosity, but it involves more hands-on experiential approach. It's about examining or investigating a place, concept, situation. And I'm really talking about concept, really. And you're trying to keep that broad, open-ended mind without a specific hypothesis. So curiosity leading to exploration. Often curiosity is the spark that leads to explore, and it arises from a desire to know more, to understand something deeply, and to discover something new. So this feeling, again, of wanting to know more can drive us to explore, to seek out information and experiences that satisfy that curiosity. And in this sense, curiosity can be seen as then the catalyst for exploration. But also, as I mentioned, exploration feeds curiosity. So exploring can feed and deepen curiosity, because as we explore, we uncover more questions, we encounter new things, and discover more about the complexities of a topic, which can in turn ignite further curiosity. So it's interchangeable. So I would say, you know, in my, you know, concept or my acronym model that I'm introducing here is that, you know, curiosity I see as preceding exploration, acting as the motivation for it, but the two can really be seen part of a continuous loop. So curiosity can lead to exploration. Exploration feeds back into curiosity, enhancing and expanding it. And I can talk a little bit about how that has worked for me. I mean, I've been meditating and teaching meditation for a number of years now. And So anyways, and I always stop myself when I try to do math and I hear it when I listen back. It's so funny because it really doesn't matter when it doesn't matter. But for me, there are layers and layers of knowing and understanding, right? I might get it on a certain level and then all of a sudden I'll be like, ooh, okay, now I get it on a deeper level, or things happen a little bit quicker versus, you know, kind of a longer process when you have the awareness and then the curiosity and then the exploration. So together, these concepts can play a important role in behavior change and dealing with difficult situations. How it would impact behavior change, they support the process of change by making us more mindful of our automatic habits and reactions. Awareness helps us recognize what we're doing. Curiosity opens us up to why we're doing it and what else we could do instead. And exploration allows us to try new approaches and ultimately change unhelpful patterns. So, I might invite you to think about an unhelpful pattern that you might have in your life. And maybe it has to do with aging. Maybe it has to do with body. Maybe it has to do with none of those. How clean your bathroom is. I don't know. But just, you know, so when you have an awareness like, oh, this is something that I would like to shift. And I talk about aging, and so I'll talk about that. Behavior change. Sorry. So I wanted less stress in my life, right? So I had an awareness that I was dealing with stress, and I was dealing with stress in a way that was an unhelpful pattern. It was a pattern that was long established that I thought I had broken, but deep in the recesses of my brain, I knew that, these things would help my stress, and they weren't helping my stress. So I had awareness. I had some curiosity as to why I was doing it, but I actually, I was like very clear, it was grad school. And then what else I could do instead? So the stress, the what else I could do instead, really at first, that first year was knee deep in my automatic habits, right? I had started smoking again, my drinking went up, my sugar consumption went up, my exercise was not happening. And then it got to a point, right, where I was like aware of the stress and I was in those habit patterns. And then I was sharing some with someone at work. Oh, Heather, she's been on here twice. And, or Emily, anyways, both of them were instrumental in this. And they said, would you try meditation? And I said, yes. And so that was a new approach, right? Did I change those unhelpful patterns immediately because I learned how to meditate? No, not even close. I think it took me, it was at least a year because sometimes when you want to change a behavior, it is about becoming aware, becoming curious, non-judgmentally, becoming aware, being curious, non-judgmentally, and then trying to apply a new habit, that marble going down a different path. And then you can say, oh, okay, now I'm reaching for this new habit quicker. Now I'm noticing how I feel when I use my old habits and they don't feel good, or, I don't like how it feels in my body. Then you can start doing that real deep change. Because when we try to do the surface change, when we try to like just skip right to, explore and I'm going to like do something new and I'm going to do something different, we haven't really dealt with the underlying things, and that can take some time. So I just really want people to know that as tempting as it is and as dreamy as the idea is, there's no real quick and immediate behavior change, especially with these deeper patterns. And so then how does ACE help with navigating difficult situations? So awareness, curiosity, and exploring help manage challenges with more flexibility and resilience. So by being aware, we stay connected to the present moment and our resources. Curiosity helps us to stay open and learn from the situation instead of shutting down or becoming defensive. And exploring allows us to find new solutions and ways forward. So a difficult situation might be, let me think of something recent. Okay. So navigating difficult situation. So my back went out this summer. Oh, I have never had my back go out so spectacularly. So it was scary, actually. And again, most of the comments that I received from, you know, friends when I told them that my back was out was like, oh, it's heck getting old. Like, it's just, it sucks getting old. And I was like, again, never thought of it as aging. For me, my story about it was that I am carrying excess weight and I am out of shape. And that is why, you know, my back went out. And so that was a difficult situation. And then my curiosity, rather than staying in judgment, right? So I could have really gone down the path, whether you're thinking about age or, you know, the body not being in, you know, conditioned. You can go into, and I know this from personal experience, you can go into a lot of judgment. You can go into a really deep spiral of, you know, kind of nagging on yourself about, you know, being out of shape or, you know, it's heck getting old. And so we want to stay connected to the present moment, which allows us to connect to our resources. So in the present moment, I could get curious about my back. What did I want to do? You know, it was helping me to stay open and non-judgmentally. Now, had this happened 5-10 years ago, I don't know where I'd be with it. But I wouldn't have had the flexibility and resilience that I do today. I didn't shut down or become defensive. I was able to ask for help and support, which is not easy for me to do. And then I was able to explore new solutions and ways forward. So, you know, being awake because I couldn't sleep because my back hurt, you know, I was on the Google and I found a new treatment and it helped me almost immediately. And I'm so thankful for it. So that was, you know, I was exploring. I wasn't staying stuck and saying like, oh, this is my life. This is the way my life is right now. And forevermore, my back will not be working. And so a difficult situation or thought process could also be, you know, the body aging. And so there's a great TED talk by Ashton Applewhite. And in that she talks about her knee and she was like, her knee was hurting. And she was like, I'm 60, however old she was in the story, let's say 64. She's like, oh, my knee hurts. And it's, you know, I hate getting older and blah, blah, blah. And then she realized, oh, she was open and curious. And she was like, oh, my left knee doesn't hurt. And it's the same age. And so what in your life right now are you just telling a story about? And if you were to actually become aware that you're in this habit loop of a story, and then you were able to say like, well, that's interesting. My left knee doesn't hurt, or, you know, something is working okay. And so maybe it's not all gloom and doom. And then you open up that space, you open up that idea. So then you can spark that curiosity and work and explore to see what is open. So being aware, curious, and willing to explore actually enriches our relationship with ourselves and the world. These three encourage more mindful, open, and adaptive approach to life. This can be extraordinarily and incredibly powerful in fostering growth and healing and transformation, both everyday with everyday challenges and life transitions. So this understanding and practice in mindfulness and kind of diving into like what's behind this, you can integrate these concepts into your life. You can see benefits with how you relate to things. And again, it's not about changing everything overnight. But as humans, and maybe you're not dealing with anything right now, and you can set this aside and it can come back to you at another point in your life. But you know, we have situations, we have things that come up. And so how do you meet those? How do you meet those? And I would say, you know, if you can remember ACE, if you can remember, oh, okay, so I'm aware of this. Now, curiosity, is this true? How do I know that this is true in my life? Or is there another way that I can see this? And then exploring your options, then you can create, you know, those new neural pathways. And if you use this approach, then you're actually bringing mindfulness into your life in a daily practice. And so just trying to think of, I was thinking about different examples that I had where I was working through this. So the stories you tell yourself, you know, what are the stories you are telling about a situation? And again, not in a judgmental way, because we have stories, you know, like Ashton Applewhite, you know, her story was that, you know, her knee was old and that's why it hurt. And then she realized her other knee didn't hurt. So what are the stories that you're telling yourself about a situation? Where does your mind first go when something happens? Like with my toe breaking, I didn't actually attribute it to anything other than I was walking around in the dark and I happened to choose to use a kettlebell as a doorstop. It's also there so that I like will swing it, you know, but in this case, it was in front of my door and my dog likes to paw at it. And somehow it got moved into the room. And so when I was walking into the room in the dark, I kicked it. And that's where it stayed, right? And I didn't go into a story about, you know, oh, I'm clumsy or I'm this, because that's adding suffering, right? That's adding that second arrow. And for those of you who haven't heard this story, there's a parable or a story that's in Buddhism that talks about the second arrow. So that means that something happens. So in this parable, a person is walking in the woods and they get shot by an arrow. And that is painful and that is problematic. And you have to deal with that arrow that is in you, right? Something must be done. It is a fact. But where we get into kind of adding to our suffering and prolonging it is the stories that we tell, the second arrow. So, you know, like the why is me, the woe is me, the, you know, I always get hit by arrows, or, you know, this, and then making up a story about why you got hit with an arrow, you know, maybe you shouldn't have been walking there and this and that. And I'm not saying don't learn from situations. So if you have something where, you know, it's a learning lesson, let the lesson be learned. Yes, of course, we can all do better. You know, there's choices that we make, and we might look down the road at that hindsight 2020 and go like, oh, that might have not been the right choice. Okay, but staying in the stuckness of like beating yourself up and going like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have, or I should have done this, that's in the past. And that really churns up a lot of, for lack of a better term, yuckiness. So, you know, it can really keep you stuck and ruminating and going like, oh, I wish I wasn't different. So I'm not saying don't learn from things. And I'm not saying don't look at your life and go like, oh, okay, here's points and where maybe I made an assumption or I said something hurtful and I don't want to do that anymore. Yes, grow, please. Yes. But all of this growth does happen a little more easily when you have that awareness and curiosity, right? And so that is part of the story. So the second arrow, you don't want to add second and third arrows to whatever is happening in your life. But when something is going on, you can say, oh, okay, what is this? And then you name it. And then get curious without judgment. And then you can explore your options and try to see what is coming up about the stories that you tell yourself. Because often, you know, so like when my back went out, I immediately and was so completely fearful of the future. I was like, oh, if this is the way my life is right now. And for some people, those things happen. And that is the way that their life is, whether it's an accident or something happens, you know, but being fearful of the future and trying to take like what this feeling is right now, and then you project it, that also adds a lot of additional pain and suffering, and it can increase anxiety. So what I'm saying is, like, something happens, become aware of it. And if you can, you know, go back and listen to the episode on self-compassion, because often when we're dealing with difficult situations or challenges, it can be really hard to be compassionate for ourselves. Again, we want to assign blame. We're not open. We're not curious. And so how are we then moving into this idea of curiosity about what's going on, and then exploring options versus being in this, I wish I wouldn't have in the past, or I am fearful of the future. So again, this is about bringing mindfulness into your everyday life so this is about bringing mindfulness into your life, full stop. That's what I wanted to say. And so bringing mindfulness into your life about difficult situations can really give you a lot of insight and awareness. So right now, what I'd like to do is I am going to lead a short meditation, just kind of letting these concepts and ideas sink in a little bit for you. And so with this meditation, if you're driving, you know, maybe wait till later, you can listen and stay tuned. But we are going to do a little practice together. Okay, so what I'd like you to do is to arrive and settle in this moment. Allow yourself and your attention to be here. You know, you might have a ton of different things on your to-do list. You might be listening to this on your way to somewhere. But when you are able to pause and pay attention for yourself, please arrive and settle in this moment. Finding a comfortable position, supportive, where you can be alert yet at ease, making any adjustments to your posture so that you can be present in this moment. Closing the eyes or lowering the gaze, whatever feels supportive for you. And I'd like you to pay attention to the body in whatever position that it's in. So often we are in our heads and we're doing these automatic responses and running from here to there. And in this moment, I'd like you to drop your awareness into the body. And I say drop because usually our awareness is way up in our brain. So bringing the awareness to the body, maybe noticing if there's any tension or tightness. And as you breathe, seeing if you can invite a little relaxation to those areas, often carrying tension in the neck or shoulders, seeing if you can drop those shoulders away from the ears just a little bit. And you don't want to force anything or make anything happen. You're just greeting your body in this moment, paying attention to the sensations that are here. You can pay attention to points of contact. That's often an easy access to sensing into the body. So noticing where your body's making contact with the surface that you're on. Maybe wandering the awareness all the way down to the feet. Are they on the floor? Whatever surface they're on. Noticing air temperature, heat or coolness. You might even notice that parts of the body are cool and parts of the body are warm. You know, we so often make these sweeping declarations, I'm hot, I'm cold. But is the whole body really hot or cold? And can you bring that curiosity to whatever's happening right now? So we're inviting an awareness of the body in this moment. Awareness, the body. And then bringing curiosity to that awareness. Getting curious about the sensations that are here, or maybe even being curious about the neutrality that's here. There might be no sensation, and what's that like? And as you sit here and as you pay attention to the body, bringing awareness and curiosity, now exploring and noticing, are there stories that come up about the sensations? Do you have a judgment? And you're not trying to change anything. I am not saying, you know, it should be a certain way. Really, what it is about is meeting this moment as it is, meeting yourself as it is, being in your body as it is, without judgment, without wishing things were different, noticing and becoming aware. Taking a few deep belly breaths, I'd like you to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. You can make that audible if you'd like, but bringing a deep breath in through the nose, expanding the belly, and exhale through the mouth. Deep breath in through the nose. And exhale through the mouth. You can do this just a couple times or stick with that breath if you'd like. That soft belly breathing, breathing deeply in through the nose and out through the mouth, helps tell your nervous system that you're safe in this moment. And every time the mind wanders, simply bringing it back to the body or to the breath. This isn't about clearing the mind. It's not about making, you know, everything all calm, because it might not be calm, and that's okay. Meeting your experience as it is, this moment, this breath, this body sensation. It's about coming back to this moment of awareness. It's not about judging the mind, because the mind is a very, very busy place and it's so great. And yet in these moments, it can churn up a lot of stories. So I'd like you to bring to mind an area that's been challenging you in your life. Don't make it the most challenging. This is a practice. Maybe a challenge that is a 4 or 5 or maybe 6 on a 10-point scale. So you don't, on the challenge meter, so you don't want the most challenging. So maybe there's an area in your life that's been coming to mind while I've been talking today. And then this noticing, this bringing to mind is awareness. You are aware and you can name this challenge. Now I'd like to invite you to get curious about this, noticing what is coming up for you right now. There might be a flood of stories or worries or judgments coming to mind. Great. You can just tell them you'll be with them shortly and come back to the breath. Breathing in, knowing you're breathing in, breathing out, knowing you're breathing out. So you're bringing awareness, curiosity, and then this spaciousness, a pause. Breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. Noticing body sensations, nowhere to be, Nothing to do. Just practicing. Just practicing. So now I'd like to have you explore a little bit. When you think of this challenge, I'd like you to get curious and explore, where does this live in your body? Can you sense it in a physical sense? Like, is there a squeezing, a tightening, a quickening, an expansion, a contraction? Being really curious and specific in this exploration. Is there a color or a size that you could imagine or picture about this challenge? What size is it? What color is it? Is there a weightiness? How would you describe this if you were wanting to actually, not the story, because that's for another time, but really this challenge, where does it live in the body? What does it feel like? What does it look like? Maybe it even has a name. And just all of these things are not to make it go away, because it's here already, right? So allowing it to just be here. Naming, understanding, exploring. And if you can do that with non-judgment and always inviting curiosity to the exploration, that's really the key to this. Not trying to change it, not trying to make it different, just noticing, aware, curious, exploring, moment to moment, and it might change, and that's okay. Offering yourself a little compassion or congratulations for taking this time to be with a challenge that's in your life right now. And I'd like you to let go of that image, idea, and focus again on the body breathing or on body sensation, taking a couple of deep intentional breaths, deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth, maybe releasing any tension or anything that came up, deep breath in, exhale, one more time, deep breath in, and exhale. Bringing some movement to the body, maybe wiggling the fingers and toes or taking a stretch. And opening the eyes if they've been closed. Thank you for taking that time to meditate and bring awareness and curiosity into your life. And in that curiosity, finding maybe an exploration of doing something different, or just noticing how this is in your body. So that is the practice, right? And being gentle with yourself. Go back and listen to self-compassion if that one is difficult for you. And so, closing message, any action items, I'd like you to work with this idea, bringing ACE into your life and playing with it. And I would love for you to let me know how that is for you, maybe how this past practice was. But so inviting and bringing awareness into your life using this kind of acronym to help guide you through that. And again, non-judgmentally. I don't know how many times I can say that. You can also check out my website for free downloadable meditations and practices. My website is www.ccwithdrt.com. CCWITHDRT.com. And I have meditations and a Befriending the Body bundle. I would love for you to check that out. And I really want to say thank you all for tuning in to Creating Connection with Dr. T. I'm so grateful that you chose to spend this time with me today. Please do reach out with any questions, comments, show ideas, and thank you so much for sharing my show. Join me on the first and third Wednesdays of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific. And until then, take good care of yourself and others. And I'll see you back here on March 20th when I will talk about how to apply these things a little bit. Like a framework. Yes, I'll be talking about a framework on how to integrate ACEs into your life. Thank you again, and I look forward to seeing you soon. All right. Thank you for listening to Creating Connection with me, Dr. T. You can join me by tuning in on the first and third Wednesdays every month at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where we will navigate being human together. Being human means that we all have a body, and we will all experience loss, grief, and aging if we're lucky. Let's join together on this journey of exploration, support, and mutual learning. I love bringing people together, and on Creating Connection, we are a conversation away from understanding another person and, quite frankly, ourselves. For more information, visit ccwithdrt.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.